Welcome to another episode of Spotlight with Shubham. I'm co-founder of Mastera, an all-in-one platform for coaches and trainers to run and scale their online knowledge business. Today on Spotlight, we have Scott with us. Scott is a certified executive sales and leadership coach. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Excited to be talking to you today. Do you want to talk about your journey so far and how you ended up being a sales and leadership coach?
I love the opportunity. I love to share my story. I'm a sales guy at heart, so of course I always love to tell a good story. This is decade number four. I know I don't look that old, at least I don't think I do, of my career. And it started off in Wall Street, investment banking, always on the sales side. As I always joke, my friends would say, you know what stocks we should buy. I go, I have no idea. That's not what I do. I sell what the guys who know what stocks to buy. So always on the sales side, worked for some great companies and was blessed to have a company. My first company I worked for out of college, that was a small company where I had people 15 years, my senior, who became my coaches and mentors without me knowing what that was at the age of 22. And things I do today, I still learn from them, and had a great career with that company for about 5 years before I wanted to go overseas. I let my career take me, and I got an opportunity to move to Japan, to Tokyo, and take my career to the next point, and spent 3 years there creating a business, a $5 billion business from nothing, a global business, and had obviously tremendous success. Came back to New York in 2000 and always in the startup phase of companies, meaning, hey, we got a new division we want to build. Got hired by a Japanese bank. I came back and ended up, like many expats, didn't want to sit next to my boss anymore after I was on the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. And Japanese bank hired me, worked a block from the World Trade Center and lived 10 blocks from there. And on 9/11, we had a front row seat that day and saw an airplane literally fly 100 feet outside my office window into the first tower. And wow. As you can imagine, that day we had a front row seat, as I said, ran home, got my wife and at the time four-month-old baby, and ran from the falling towers and you name it. And that was the end of the Wall Street career. Because at the end of that, my wife at the time was from Hawaii, and she's like, I was in Tokyo with you, I was in New York City, I had enough of the big city. And so we moved to Hawaii, walked away from a guaranteed bonus and everything, and had to reinvent myself, and had a 6-year journey that was a lot of some ups and a lot of downs, in all honesty, after that. So trying to create my own businesses, doing some different things, a little bit of success, some failures, which are the good things we learn from, and right. Eventually in 2009, got back on my feet in a good career and started to progress and got more into the insurance world for a little bit, and eventually into the software world, where I spent the last 10 years of my career before I got into coaching, and just built great businesses, understood sales process, what it takes. I'm a data geek at heart. And so how do we bring data into sales process? People ask, Scott, what was your success? I go, well, I knew how to use numbers and sell with my heart. And a combination of those two. And that led to one company, Trinet, taking them public, and then got hired by another company shortly thereafter, $8 million company by private equity world, to be their CRO and run everything, go to market. I was supposed to be there for 5 years, go from 8 to 134 million. And in 18 months, I grew into 20 million. That's what I do. High performance, high success. Let's go. As I say, sales rocket ships. I don't like slow and value plays. It's just not me. And so when they sold, it's like, what do I do? Well, my youngest son was graduating high school. He plays baseball in college. So I was like, I'm going to sit and watch baseball. This was April of 2019. And I watched him play baseball every day for 3 months. It was some best 3 months of my life. But then eventually I'm like, all right, I could go make some money again. And long story short, before I moved to Austin in August of 19, 2 days before, I took a job with a software company in Utah to be their CRO. Mm-hmm. $100 million company, and to grow them, they eventually wanted to get sold. But every time I was about to take that job through that process, I kept running into this coaching thing. And I've always been a coach at heart. And literally that night, Thursday night, I'm packing up, and my two kids, they're now 21 and 29. We're like, Dad, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm packing. Go leave me alone. We're going out to dinner. And finally, my mom, who was there, was like, you need to talk to your kids. I'm like, I got no time. Mm-hmm. Anyways, as I always said, God was tapping me a little bit, and he finally grabbed a sledgehammer in the form of my two sons, who said, dad, you tell us to embrace failure in life, go for our biggest dreams. Why are you wimping out and taking the cushy job in Utah? It's an emotional day when your kids teach you. So instead of going to Utah, I came to Austin and I started my coaching business, and I've been in coaching for 3 years. I started off as I bought a franchise action coach, which is amazing, and started off as a business coach, helping small business owners. And I still do some of that, but I realized that my sales, passion for sales, and my passion for leadership are really what I love to do. And I shifted away from action coaching to Sales Scalers, which is my company. And we focus on sales as well as leadership coaching, and not the C-suite, though we've done some of that. It's more the junior to mid-level leader who, how do we give them the tools and be more than a coach, but a mentor to them to become the next CEO, CRO, you name it.
That's a phenomenal journey. Thanks for sharing that, Scott. Lots of ups and downs, 9/11 and big cities, and then going back to small, and then going back to Austin. And I'm also from Austin. So,
oh, great.
Yeah. So hopefully we get to meet each other one day.
That'd be great.
So with that, we'd love to know a little bit more on the type of clients. You kind of touched on that in the end, but let's talk about that. Like, what type of clients do you work with? What type of problems do you come across when you work with those clients? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. Again, there's two pieces. There's a sales side of coaching and the leadership coaching. So on the sales side, we work with the sole entrepreneur to the 10-person CPA firm. We do a lot of that. We also get brought in sometimes to work with sales organization of companies that typically don't have a CRO type of role. There's still maybe 200 to 300 employees somewhere in under that, in that range, where they're still developing their sales function. You and I talked earlier before the camera went on, that sales process and how do we get into that. They face the same problems, in all honesty. The problem is they don't know how to go about what they want to accomplish every day. And prior to that, they actually don't know what they want to accomplish. They don't have true defined goals. And a lot of people in life have a goal. Oh, I have goals. What are your goals? Well, my goal is to be the number one salesperson. Okay, that's a good goal. But what does that really mean? There's no substance behind that.
Right.
I'd rather someone say, my goal is to be 200% of quota this year. That's specific. If you have your quota is $500,000, $1 million, you know, I've got to go at $1 million. I got to go bring in $2 million. The reason a specific goal is so important is now we can work backwards. What does it take every day for you to sell $2 million? Well, if my average deal size is $100,000, I got to sell 20 deals. If I know it takes me for every proposal, I close half of them. Well, now I need to have 40 proposals this year. How many phone calls do I need to make? I won't completely go down the rabbit hole there, but data, like I said, we've got to know the data. But it starts with the specific goal. As I like to say in planning, I don't start at point A. We know what point A is. I start at point B and we work our way backwards. So we do that, whether it's a sole entrepreneur or the larger company. It's those two things we got to do. And then once we know that data of what we got to do, and it comes out to, I got to make 100 phone calls a day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do we make those phone calls? Then we obviously get into who's our target audience. You and I talked a minute ago. What's our actual sales script? By the way, I script out everything in my life. You sent me questions before we started just so I had an idea to prep. I have a script in my head. Now, am I reading off it? No. Scripts are performed. They're not read. And there's in coaching, we teach you how to perform a script versus sit here and read it, right?
Right.
So those are a big part on the sales side. On the leadership side, we face a lot of things, believe it or not. It starts with goal setting. It starts with understanding for leaders, especially in that junior new leader to mid-level, is where do I want to get to? Again, what's point B as myself as an individual? And then to understand my team's going to get me there because I'm going to elevate them. And when I elevate them, I automatically get elevated as well. So obviously there's a lot more behind it, but at a high level, that's really what leadership coaching is as well.
Got it. That's very interesting. And I think that can be very rewarding for you as well as for the companies and clients you work given your phenomenal background of scaling the companies. So on that side, just another thing I'm curious about. So I've seen a lot of times is that small companies, SMBs, which you work with a lot, plus solo entrepreneurs, they don't have most of the time a good handle on the positioning part slash thing that their customers want to hear slash what is the pitch that's going to be, because pitch is sometimes one thing which can still be honed into if all the other things have been figured out. But I've seen personally with my experience that a lot of entrepreneurs out there are trying to do too much and do not have that thing figured out. So do you help pretty much end to end that positioning to go to market and kind of pitching and everything around that?
Absolutely. And the most important part is the pitch. We've got to know our target audience, of course, because that will tell us. Because here's a small tweak we make to let's just peek behind the curtain of how easy sales coaching is. And it is, because it's small tweaks in coaching, by the way. Most people in their pitch, the pitch in the end is all about, if I'm selling to you, the pitch is really all about me.
Right.
So yeah, I'll still win some sales that way. But the small tweak is, how do I make the pitch about you? But, you know, we've all heard the term whiff them, what's in it for me? We're all inherently selfish, not just our teenage kids. So if you're selling to me, I want you to hit my whiffle. So what's the tweak we can make in your pitch to understand the whiffle of that says, ooh, Scott's got what I want. Let me hear more. Now show me you actually have really what I want. In order to know the whiffle, you've got to know your target audience, though. Who is your ideal target? And saying every small business under 10 employees, all right, there's a 10 million plus. That's not a target. That's right. A cast a net into the ocean, hope you catch something. So those, again, we get into the nuances behind that. But you're absolutely right. We've got to have our pitch down. But there's some other things we need to know so that we can refine that pitch.
Got it. And just on that note, have you seen, like, when you work with solo entrepreneurs versus like a 10 to 50 people company, like a small business kind of thing, what are the different type of traits slash challenges that you see with the solo entrepreneur? I'm curious about that.
With the solo entrepreneur, we got to work on their blocking their schedule. That's simple, by the way, time management, because you hit on it earlier. They're doing so many things. They're not, you know, the solo entrepreneur and even the company that's probably about 15 employees and less, they're all wearing 1,000 different hats. So we've got to get them to understand when to put the sales hat off and take the other hats off. Because if you don't have a revenue generating machine, you don't have a business.
Right.
So that's the big thing. When we get to 15 employees and up, typically the management or the owner, the co-founders, they've pulled themselves out of a lot of the 1,000 hats and they're down to maybe 100 hats. Slight exaggeration, but not by much. So we can now get a little more laser focused on certain things, specifically the sales process for them and how that trickles into their sales manager. Typically, they'll have a few salespeople and hopefully a sales leader, if not a full manager.
Got it. Yeah, because some of a lot of our clients are going to be solo entrepreneurs like Masteras and also in the audience. So I was just curious that way. So that makes a lot of sense. And with that, I would love to kind of go back a little bit back on the journey, your journey, and would like to understand when you started as a coach, like I think in 2019, I believe. Yep. So do you mind sharing like the challenges that you had or slash pretty much now growing your own company and kind of getting customers for yourself, the first, yep, first 10 customers? Our first 20 customers. So we'd love to talk about that and kind of probably that's share some takeaways for the audience.
That's a great question. That makes me laugh and cry at the same time when I think about it. You know, I could go back and get this 20 grand back that I spent in sales and marketing, God, but obviously hindsight's 2020, as my dad always said. You know, I've sold over $6 billion in my career. It's a pretty big number. Selling your own business is not as easy as you think.
Right.
So all the people listening say, I'm going to go be a coach. You can be a great coach, but understand you're still a salesperson. But what I had to figure out the first 3 months, I didn't close any business. And I'm like, I've sold billion-dollar deals. Like, what is this?
Right.
In my coach, and by the way, I still cut a check every month, invest in coaching for me, because we all need a coach no matter who we are or what we do. And he finally said to me, he goes, Scott, he goes, two things. He asked me two questions. Number one, he goes, what's your role? He goes, and I said, I'm a business coach. He goes, wrong. He goes, you're a business owner. And business owners think different than business coaches. He goes, and the second thing is, he goes, describe your company to me. And, you know, I got into that. Well, we help small businesses, business coaching, blah, blah, blah. He goes, no, you're not. He goes, you're a marketing company that sells business coaching. It's not sales and marketing, folks. It's marketing and sales. And this is a 30 plus year veteran in sales telling you marketing comes first. If you're cold calling, that's not a sales activity. That's a marketing activity. Marketing activity puts someone into your sales funnel so you can move them through your process. And when I shifted those two mindsets to, one, I'm a business owner out there marketing my business, within the next 2 months, I had five figures of recurring revenue coming into my business.
Nice.
You know, because it was a mindset shift. And those are the things you got to do. So again, if I could go back and get some of that money back I spent on things as a salesperson, thinking to do this and all the things, I was doing it as a business coach, not as a business owner. So what mattered to me wasn't the right target to find the right people to grow my business.
Got it. No, that's great advice. So marketing definitely comes first, and you got to have that awareness. You got to have that word out so that people are at least aware of the brand or the business and whatever that business is. And in this case, it's a coaching business. And once that happens, only then you can start to have that people in the pipeline and be that salesperson there. So now that makes a lot of sense. Any specific things or any specific marketing activities that you would recommend or suggest to someone who's about to start?
So in the coaching world, it typically, I mean, unless you're going after, most coaches are going after that SMB space, that sole entrepreneur SMB, kind of in that realm. So your local, and especially now as we've come out of COVID and we're back to, in most places, you know, events that we're going to live, networking. I was at 3 networking events a day, if not 4, for including the weekends in the first 2 months. So again, my lack of success the first 3 months was not due to a lack of meeting people. I had a stack of business cards. It was my messaging and understanding who I was, my mindset. So get out there. You've got to be consistent. I like to do what I call 10 by 10 in marketing. 80% of marketing doesn't work at all or doesn't work really well. And you hope you hit a lot of, I'm a baseball guy, a lot of doubles and home runs with the other 2, maybe 3 of that 10 by 10. And you're a marketing person, so you can tell me better. But you got to have a lot of things out there that are churning. See what works in your messaging that works and keep them going and rotating the other ones that aren't working out of that lineup and bringing new things in. So it's a consistent, especially in the beginning, you know, your only job when you have no clients is to go get clients.
Right.
So you got to be doing all the activities. It was networking. And as you know, Austin's a great place to network. But I built my career cold calling. So guess what? I built my list and I got on the phone too. Nice. Wasn't afraid of the phone. And a lot of you people listening probably haven't done that much cold calling in your career.
Right.
You need to pick up the phone. You need to go knock on doors, go into businesses. Now, if you're going after larger businesses, then you got to bring LinkedIn into the place in other social media avenues. And again, you have to cold call. But to what you and I have talked from the beginning today, what's your pitch? You got to have your pitch down. You got to have your target down so you have the right pitch. And you got to have a process with dedicated activity every day. The difference between the top 1% performers in the world, whatever, whether it's sports, business, you name it, versus everyone else, is daily execution. And if you execute daily on your plan, even at 80% of it, yes, I said that, just 80% of it, you're going to be in the top 1% of whatever you do.
That's amazing. That sounds too simple, but it is very profound. So
it is that simple.
Yeah. So and in a lot of times, the most impactful things turn out to be very simple. That, hey, just do these simple things and you can get super successful there. Now that makes a lot of sense. So I think the other thing I want to talk to you about is just going in that direction of sort of executing that marketing part, which you mentioned, and then also executing the sales sort of pipeline and pitch and all of that. What I have seen personally a lot of times is just from point A to point B, when someone is trying to scale, the processes or at least the systems, a little bit of a system sort of approach kind of starts to matter. Because like you said, if there's no sort of regularity or no sort of visibility into it, then things will start falling. Maybe we hit a home run this month, and next month we start thinking of something else, and then it goes out of the loop. So with that, any thoughts on what type of very lightweight processes or lightweight systems that you would recommend someone who is a SMB or a solo entrepreneur?
And you hit the nail on the head. You got to have a process and a system in place. That's a big part of I've just did the first draft of a book that will come out probably Q1 next year. It's obviously on sales, but it's focused on the people we're talking about. It's not focused on the corporate world. In system and process. So just some basic stuff. Block your schedule every day to say, here's my time I do admin. Here's my time I return emails. And here's my prospecting time. And within that prospecting time, again, what's your 10 by 10? Is it networking events? Is it email blasts? Is it LinkedIn? For the coaching world, especially if you're going after SMBs and solo entrepreneurs, probably doing some Facebook stuff. And I know you can tell them a lot more on the social media side. I don't coach to that. I help them go get someone to do that piece. Mm-hmm. But just every day, have a plan. Have it written out, have it blocked in your calendar to do those basic things. I got to do admin to run my business. I've got to return my emails and phone calls. But again, in the beginning, 70% of my schedule block should be prospecting, which is marketing, right. So that I can then get them into my sales funnel and have my meetings. The other piece too is do not take them when someone says, oh, I can meet you tomorrow at 9. If that's the time you have to do cold calling, you're not meeting them at 9. You have to own your schedule or your clients will take over your schedule. So you have to say, no, I meet clients. I've got a spot from 10 to 12 or 2 to 3, which works best for you. By the way, that also sets you as an equal with them instead of the salesperson always thinks, oh, they're more important. They're not more important than you.
Right.
If you got something great to sell, you're more important than them.
Right.
I'm not saying I have to be a jerk to them about it, but
yeah,
own your calendar and block it. So you have that. And again, so that's part of your process. The system is, what's my script? What's my, when do I cold call? When do I send emails? When do I go to events, et cetera? That falls into the system of it.
Got it. No, that's a great advice of blocking and owning the calendar. Cause actually I've been culprit to that because I run my own startup. So I've done sales myself as well, demos and sales. So I kind of get into that mindset of that, hey, that other person is more important and now whatever they want, I'm going to do it. And then sometimes I end up saying yes when I should have said no. So no, that's a great advice, that own your calendar and kind of be equal there. Don't be a jerk, but just be equal and value everything there.
It's the beginning of training your clients to be good clients.
Yeah,
it absolutely starts in the sales process. Because if you don't train your clients, and we coach to this, how to train our clients to be good clients, and we define what that means for every business, it's different. They will, again, own you. And as you and I talked before off camera, you have too many business owners who they're working too many hours. They're not happy. They're not successful because, again, their business runs them instead of them running the business.
Right. That makes sense. Now, on that, the other question, I know there are companies and organizations or even third-party vendors who always pitch, and they have these services of kind of taking over the sales part or the prospecting part and prospecting / sales part for not as a coach or a consultant, but just completely offloading it. So what are your thoughts there that from a small business standpoint, have you seen like in your experience, which one kind of is more impactful and makes sense from a longer term standpoint, kind of owning it in-house and kind of getting trained and kind of doing everything or kind of offloading it?
I love in the beginning, I've worked with companies who are great at it, who we've outsourced pieces of it because they just can't hire fast enough. They don't have the clientele. So it's great to bring in an out. There's so many onshore and offshore companies that will do kind of the SDR piece of it. Right. And they're really good. As long as you have control over their scripting and who they're calling on, you've got to keep control of your messaging. So as long as you keep that in mind, I think it's great to outsource to marketing companies. Because small companies, sole entrepreneur, a 20-person company, it costs a lot more to hire the marketing associate, let alone a CMO, right? Mm-hmm. Or some of the SDR teams. So it's cost-effective to do it. They take that hat, proverbial hat, off your head so you can focus on when it gets into your sales funnel. Now let me go close it. I don't like once something gets into the sales funnel, I think you need to own that internally. Otherwise, again, you're not bringing on the right clients. Potentially, you're not closing your messaging, and they're not going to close. They're not going to have as high a close ratio as you would, or someone on your team who you get to manage every day.
That makes sense. Yeah, just as long as the control is there, outsourcing can be good. But if without control, if you're kind of turning a blind eye, then it's going to kind of go off track pretty quickly. Awesome. Well, Scott, we talked a lot about the sales part of it. You also do a ton of leadership coaching. So I would love to spend a few minutes on the leadership side of things. So again, from a perspective of a SMB or from a solo entrepreneur, just that part of thing. Any thoughts, suggestions, or things that you have seen from a leadership standpoint or any advice that you would like to share on that front?
Yeah, leadership is all about influence, right? Can I influence others to follow me? And the way we do that is, one, we have to have a clear vision. So when I work with leaders, that no matter whether it's the sole entrepreneur who is a leader, mm-hmm. they're a leader of one, but they're also a leader in their community, as I like to tell them, or someone who has a people under them, you've got to have a vision. You have to have clarity in that vision. And you got to create an action plan on how do we execute on that vision. And when you can articulate that, people are going to decide if they want to follow you or not. Not everyone will follow you, and that's okay. And they're not part of your organization. Right. But everyone else will say, I believe in this vision. This is something I want to be a part of. So let me join. I want to follow Scott. I want to follow Jane, whoever it is. So you got to have that. And when you can do that, then it goes into a lot of the other things we talked on the sales side. What's your daily plan? How are you executing on it? As a leader, you absolutely need to lead by example. And then the last thing I teach a lot of leaders, most leaders I coach are typically higher performers. Higher performers go faster than everyone else. People want to follow you, but if you go too fast, they can't keep up. And so you need to learn to slow down a little bit, not get frustrated with the fact that they're not as fast as you, mm-hmm. right? In general. Slow down a little bit so they can stay with you. Because if they stay with you, you can, again, start elevating them. Just like a personal trainer, I can help them start to run faster. But you got to do it in pieces. And when you do that, next thing you know, you guys are running as fast as you want, but everyone's along for the ride. And they get to start leading you sometimes. I love when my people start to lead. I love when my kids sat me down and said, no, Dad, you should be doing this.
Right.
They took leadership there. I love when my people start leading me. It's kind of the proud father moment throughout my career to see that. And then, by the way, get out of their way and let them keep doing it. And you go along for the ride and help support them. That's what great leadership is. So it's coaching to that.
That's amazing. Yeah. And great words there and great piece of advice to kind of slow down a little bit and kind of work with your team and kind of bring them at the same level, and then start to execute that next level. That's phenomenal advice. And I also, it seems like it's more of a mind thing as well, because it seems like most, like you said, most of your clients are very high performers, and they have this mindset before I think they're coached that, hey, they need to run faster, only then the team will perform, but I think it's a switch of a mindset as well.
Mindset's about everything we're talking about. It's to tell people what's, you know, there's a lot of sales books out there, and I think what will make mine different does is we focus a lot more on mindset than on sales technique. Because sales technique's easy. Anyone can do a phone and talk to someone, right? Yeah. Anyone can sit there and shake someone's hand at a luncheon. But what's your mindset? Do you believe you just the law of deservedness? Do you believe you deserve success? Do you have a mindset for structure? Do you have a mindset that I'm going to execute on this plan every day, even if I'm tired?
No, absolutely. And yeah, in my experience as well, I've seen mindset may be the most powerful thing out there. A lot of people don't talk and think and understand that. Actually, I didn't understand what mindset is. I'd read about that a lot, and I heard a lot of people talk about it, but I didn't understand that what does mindset mean. And when personally I switched my mindset, like hundreds of doors opened up which were already there. It's phenomenal. Awesome. Well, Scott, it was great talking to you, and thanks for sharing all the advice. One last question before we part ways today. Where can someone find you? This has been amazing advice, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners may be wondering that, hey, if they want to work with you or reach out to you for advice, how can they find you?
Nice and easy. Obviously, you can always find me on LinkedIn and places like that. But my website is Sales Scalers. That's two S's in the middle. Sales, plural, Scalers, SalesScalers.com. And my email is scott@salesscalers.com. So you can find us there. You'll see some of our content there. Always happy to have a 30-minute call with someone, complimentary, and just share some ideas, hopefully set you on your mindset. And if coaching makes sense, we coach other coaches as they're getting started. We coach, obviously, the SMBs and all the people you work with from a marketing standpoint as well.
Awesome. Well, perfect. Well, thanks, Scott, again. Appreciate your time. It was great talking to you. And hopefully there are a lot of takeaways in today's discussion, and from a sales and marketing standpoint, you guys have listened to the great advice shared by Scott, and then hopefully you'll put some of them in action. So with that, thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Take care.
It's been great.